Praise the Lord this morning. So good to be in the house with you all. Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Always encourage the saints to bring their paper Bibles to church. Second Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is such an important portion of Scripture, and one that is vital concerning the church body. When a person comes to Christ, the Bible declares that they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Reborn, redeemed, restored, reinstated, reconciled. How do you get over the human element? How do you no longer see the old creation but the new? How do you no longer regard people according to the flesh? Like the woman caught in adultery. Like Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Like the man possessed by legion, like the thief on the cross. What did Jesus say concerning the woman? John 8, beginning of verse 9, Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." What did Jesus say concerning Zacchaeus? Luke 19, beginning of verse 1, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, They all complained, saying he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also was a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." What of the man possessed by legion, now set free? Mark chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis, that's 10 cities, how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. The thief on the cross. Luke 23, verses 42 and 43, "Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Old things passed away. A new life, new creation life. Remember how the prodigal son was welcomed home? Luke 15, beginning at verse 22, "The father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." But there was another son. Beginning of verse 25, "Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with them. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came,'" no mention of brother, "'who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' He said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead, is alive again, and was lost, and is found.'" You see, the other son, the older brother, his brother was home. The prodigal was home, and there he was regarding him according to the flesh. The father called for the best robe. The father called for a ring. The father called for sandals, a robe of salvation, a robe of righteousness, a robe of sonship to cover the nakedness, a ring of rulership, a royal ring, a princely ring. Sandals that the feet might be shod anew and in right manner. Receive this. Now, Christian, I want thee this morning to rejoice in this. Thou art accepted in the Beloved. Thou lookest within and thou sayest, there is nothing acceptable here. Man, look at Christ and see if there is not everything acceptable there. Thy frame depresses thee, but look thou to Jesus and hear him cry, it is finished. Will not that death note reassure thee? Thy sins trouble thee, but remember, they were laid upon the scapegoat's head of old, and they are no more. They no more exist, for he has cast thy sins behind his back and thrown them into the depths of the sea. In thy surety, thou art free. His dear blood was shed for thee. With thy Savior's garments on, holy as the Holy One. It's amazing that the Father went out. The Father came out and the Father pleaded with the older son that he not regard his brother according to the flesh. Older son. And you know it can happen with older Christians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved, bestowed grace, favor upon us. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now it is true that there must be a change. The woman couldn't continue in her lifestyle of sin. Jesus said, go and sin no more. Zacchaeus couldn't carry on according to the flesh, his small statured existence. The man, now free of legion, had to choose a life of freedom and get possessed with kingdom life and kingdom living. The thief, well, straight to glory ain't bad. And the prodigal had to now conduct himself like a son, honoring the father and his household, upholding the family name and traditions. These were to no longer live according to the flesh, and they were to no longer regard themselves according to the flesh. Come on, you know the old song, don't you? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I'm born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. But what about the brother? The brother who never wandered. The brother who never took off and gave himself to prodigal living. With regards to humanity, we all fit the prodigal bill. We've all had our stint of prodigal living. And even if we think we haven't, we were born in need of salvation. Yet what of those that perhaps might relate to the older brother? You know, those that were born into a Christian home. They can't even remember the day they were saved. It's like they've always been saved. They've never left the Father's house. Sure, they've had their youthful struggles, but they've gone to the Father for forgiveness along the way. And they've always loved him and his ways and his authority and his kingdom, his fields. They've never dreamt of another life, for they are like those who are dreaming. How do you get over the human element? How do you no longer see the old creation but the new? How do you no longer regard people according to the flesh? When the brother returns, when a brother comes home, when an adulteress comes home, when a fraud man comes home, when a possessed man comes home, when a thief comes home. Back to our main text, 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 14, reading from the Voice Bible. You see, the controlling force in our lives is the love of the Anointed One. And our confession is this: one died for all. Therefore, all have died. He died for us so that we will all live, not for ourselves, but for Him who died and rose from the dead. Because of all that God has done, we now have a new perspective. We used to show regard for people based on worldly standards and interests. No longer. We used to think of the Anointed the same way. No longer. Therefore, if anyone is united with the Anointed One, that person is a new creation. The old life is gone, and see, a new life has begun. Can you see it? All of this is a gift from our Creator, who has pursued us and brought us into a restored and healthy relationship with Him through the Anointed. And He has given us the same mission, the ministry of reconciliation, to bring others back to Him. It is central to our good news that God was in the Anointed making things right between Himself and the world. This means He does not hold their sins against them, but it also means He charges us to proclaim the message that heals and restores our broken relationships with God and each other. So we are now representatives of the Anointed One, the liberating King. God has given us a charge to carry through our lives, urging all people on behalf of the Anointed to become reconciled to the Creator God. He orchestrated this, the Anointed One, who had never experienced sin, became sin for us, so that in Him we might embody the very righteousness of God. How do you get over the human element? How do you no longer see the old creation but the new? How do you no longer regard people according to the flesh? Number one this morning, remember who you once were and what you are outside of Christ. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. The Bible says, Romans 3, verses 23 to 26, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Listen, we're all level at the foot of the cross. We all needed Jesus. We all need Jesus. Outside of Christ, we are sinners, separated from God, adulterers, small-statured, haunted, thieves, lost, dead. Sinners with an eternal trip to hell in our future. It's hot there. There's a lake of fire. Oh, it'll bring you to tears, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. Luke 16, beginning of verse 19, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Never forget that the Lord brought us up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Hallelujah for the cross. You guys, this isn't a game. And if it is, it's for keeps. Number two, recognize the heart of God. Reconciliation. This is his heart. J.B. Phillips, New Testament. If a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. All this is God's doing, for he has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And he has made us agents of the reconciliation. God was in Christ personally reconciling the world to himself. Can I remind the church today that the Lord is not willing that any perish? He has extended his love in the person of Jesus Christ. He has extended the invitation of forgiveness and for forgiveness, salvation, and reconciliation. And when one accepts this glorious invitation, they too become wedding guests just like us. You know, I've never yet received a wedding invitation stating what level of guest I am. I received the invitation. It was sent out and delivered and received because I was invited. I was wanted. My presence was desired. Oh, the heart of God. How could we regard according to the flesh when our Heavenly Father no longer does? You see, when my child comes to me and asks for forgiveness, repents for wrongdoing, I don't hold it over their head and remind them here and there of all the wrong they've done. Depths of the sea, erased no more. They're on the ocean floor. God, give us your heart. The past is gone. A new day has dawned. Number three, realize your ministry. The KJV, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled. Be ye reconciled to God. So by way of the scripture, it appears that this ministry is so very dear to the heart of God. The Amplified Bible, but all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration to favor. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. You know, it just seems so clear. The word of reconciliation has been committed to us. And we are ambassadors for Christ. Let's let God make his appeal through us. Let's realize this ministry that is our ministry. Let's be Christ's personal representatives. You know, I wonder this morning if there is anyone's sins we need to cancel, that we no longer regard them according to the flesh. Your son, my brother, regard no one according to the flesh. How do you get over the human element? How do you no longer see the old creation but the new? How do you no longer regard people according to the flesh? Number four, let the love of Christ constrain you. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And if he died for all, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The Living Bible, Christ's love controls us now. Since we believe that Christ died for all of us, we should also believe that we have died to the old life we used to live. He died for all so that all who live, having received eternal life from him, might live no longer for themselves to please themselves, but to spend their lives pleasing Christ who died and rose again for them. There has to be change. The woman caught in the act of adultery, she couldn't go on living a self-pleasing lifestyle. Zacchaeus, the man set free, the brother couldn't take off again. So stop evaluating Christians by what the world thinks about them, or by what they seem to be like on the outside. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, merely as a human being like myself, how differently I feel now. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. You see, when the love of Christ constrains us, that is, controls and compels us, evaluation will change. Perspective will change. Judgment will change. Regarding will change. I think of that line, man looks at the outward appearance, the Lord looks at the heart. Yeah, I know, I've been around for a long time. Some come in broken and bruised and scarred and marked. The diversity of the body of Christ. We may not all look the same, but the Lord's trophies are all beautiful. Born again. New creation. Righteous in Christ. Old labels gone. New labels on. And let us all now recite this: if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And let us all now live this: if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Let's live for Christ. You know, everything in life is better. Doesn't mean we go through things, but everything in life is better when we live to please Christ in all things. And that's the life we're called to live now. Not a self-focused, selfish existence. Still messing around with the things he set us free from. Maybe that's the problem. You see yourself as that old man, you still regard yourself according to the flesh. That's not the heart of God for you. Let's have the worship team return. Please hear these words today. Do not you see, beloved, the whole way through, it is all of God and not of man? It was Christ who at first put us in his heart to be accepted there. It was the Father who put us in his book according to the good pleasure of his own will to be accepted there. It was Christ that took us into his hand according to his suretyship engagement that we might be accepted there. It is Christ that took us into his loins, begetting us again unto a lively hope that we might be accepted there. And it is grace that has united us with the person of Christ, that we might stand accepted there. You see, it is all of God from first to last. Jonah learned sound divinity when he went into the whale's belly. For he said, salvation is of the Lord. And before the throne of God in heaven, they always sing sound theology. For part of the song is salvation unto God and unto the Lamb. Not of man, neither by man, not of the will of man, nor blood, nor birth, but according to the counsel of him that worketh all things according to the good pleasure of his will. Sinner, does that suit you? You that are not in Christ in your own experience, does that suit you? It ought to do so. If you had to put yourself into Christ, you could not do it. Men and women, if God asked anything of you to qualify you for Christ, you could not do it. But he asks nothing of you whatever. His mercy comes to you not when you have made yourself alive, but while you are yet dead. It comes to you not merely when you seek it, but it first seeks you and makes you seek it. Come, woman. Come, wee little man. Come, haunt of Legion. Come, thief. Come home, son. Your frame depresses you? Look to Jesus and hear him. Hear him cry, it is finished. Salvation is of the Lord. You know, life is a gift. Don't waste time, don't waste days. You know what the Bible says? Life is, it's but a vapor. Eternity is not. So many years on this side of eternity, but you think of eternity. I think we buy up the time now. We get up every morning and seize the day. We live for Christ. We live to please him. We do all we can to walk the narrow path. For some, it's a call to get serious. For some, a call to come out of a wayward lifestyle, to receive the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. And hear Jesus say, go and sin no more. Perhaps we're here today and we need to exchange unholy regarding. We need to cancel the sins of others and condemn them no longer. You know, I thank God for all his trophies of grace. How beautiful the diversity of the body of Christ. We didn't all come from the same family line. We didn't all grow up in the same home. And the reality is, when we're born into a home, you know, God has a plan for us. When we're born into a home, we're born into an environment, a realm of choosing. Others chose it. Others have created it and formed it. And yeah, we don't understand from this side of eternity. It doesn't seem fair. But everybody has an opportunity to come out. Everybody has an opportunity to be set free. Everybody has an opportunity to start again, to begin again. New creation life that you can see generations upon generations serve the Lord. It doesn't matter how bad your home life is right now. How bad your upbringing. It doesn't matter what kind of wacko theology you got or if you're bowing down to some idol in your home every morning, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what sins you came in with today. If you will come home, new creation life, Jesus will set you free. And guess what? If that's you today and you make that decision to follow Jesus, listen, it's not just about slipping your hand up and saying, yeah, I want to receive him. Come pray one little prayer and walk out and go live a self-pleasing life. It's a decision to lay down your life, to crucify your flesh, and maybe you've never done that, to crucify your flesh, lay it aside. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the change. Doesn't mean that there's not a process. There is a process. It's called sanctification. See, many would like to stop at salvation. They receive the ticket. It's like, Pastor, pray for me. I'll repeat a few lines. You know, the reality, men of old, some of them never had an altar call because they didn't believe in, hey, if you'd like to receive Jesus, at the count of three, slip your hand up. Hallelujah. 100 people gave their life to the Lord this morning. Yeah, where are they next Sunday? You see, that's why I believe with all my heart. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices when one. Great man who had many crusades, I'm not going to mention his name, but he's quoted as saying, you know, if even 5% of all the people that came forward at my crusade to receive Jesus Christ truly received him and gave their life to him, I would be happy. Now, he would have loved for everybody, but he knows. The trial now begins. The fight. Receive your holy dog tags today. You know, fight the good fight of faith. That's what the Bible says. Now we're enmeshed in a battle. The flesh at war with the spirit at war with the flesh. Christianity ain't just all roses and vacation time. If it were, this place would be packed service after service. It's hard. You got to have guts to be a Christian. You got to be brave. It costs. But man, once you've tasted, what is any other life but a fool's errand? God help us all. Let's stand in the house of the Lord. If you need to come to the altar this morning, it's open.